You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to our program. Today's theme is the new civilization, and we'll be starting with an article of the same name from Benjamin Kremsmaster, published in one of the early issues of Share International magazine. At the beginning of this new age, which is dawning, it is difficult for many to imagine the kind of civilization and culture which will grace the succeeding centuries. Most attempt to do so remain enmeshed in a materialistic vision. Seldom does one see the effort made to embody the aspiration of mankind for a life of spiritual meaning and expression.
Let us try to envisage the future in terms of the new civilization and culture. Soon the first steps will be taken in the direction of the new dispensation. Soon the new signposts will be set, indicating the way ahead for humanity. At first, the changes will be gradual, but eventually, in quickening momentum, all will be refashioned. Let us consider the nature of the elements which will make up the new civilization. The outstanding attitude of the new time will be the attempt to create right relationships, to express goodwill. A massive shift in emphasis from the individual to the group will reorientate humanity along more fruitful lines and will reflect itself in the creation of structures more in keeping with the plan of God. A further characteristic of the future time will be the desire to know better the nature of God and to come into closer relationship with that divinity. From being peripheral to men's lives, as is the case today, this aim will become paramount in the lives of millions. Accompanying this new approach to God will be a new reverence for all manifestations of life, thus bringing men into better alignment with the subhuman kingdoms. This new sense of responsibility for the lower kingdoms will speed their evolution and so serve the plan.
Before long, a new approach to science will open the way for a complete readjustment in men's attitude to the reality in which we live. The new science will show humanity that all is one, that each fragmented part of which we are aware is intimately connected with all others, that the relationship is governed by certain laws, mathematically determined, and that within each fragment is the potential of the whole. This new knowledge will transform men's experience of the world and of each other and confirm for them the truth that God and man are one. Thus, the new science will demonstrate man's divinity and will lead to the establishment of the new world religion. The ancient schism between the religion and science will be healed and a new impulse given to man's spiritual growth.
In this fertile climate, the hidden psychic powers of man will unfold naturally, and the vast potential of the human mind will conquer space and time and control the energies of the universe itself. The resources of the human spirit are unlimited. In a crescendo of revelation, the glory of the unseen worlds will be revealed to man's astonished gaze, and the full magnitude of the divine creation will be realized. All this awaits man as he stands on the verge of the Aquarian experience. The waters of life of Aquarius, channeled to him by the Christ, will awaken in him his dormant divine consciousness and show him to be the God he is. Under the wise guidance of the Christ and his brothers, man will attain the full stature of revealed divinity, which is his birthright, did he but know it.
Stage by stage, century following century, man will build a civilization which will demonstrate his growing manifestation of divinity. A culture in which the beauty of the divine creation will be expressed in all its aspects. A mirror in which the divine idea will be reflected in all its glory. Thus will man take his true place in the scheme of things under the divine plan. Thus, under the inspiration of the Christ, will he transform this world, separated by fear, dogma, and hate, into that in which the law of love governs, in which all men are brothers, in which all that pertains to the divine nature engages man's attention and controls his life. Thus will man's dreams of divinity be realized, his potential be achieved, his destiny fulfilled.
So that was an article from Benjamin Krem's Master, originally published in the August 1982 issue of Share International magazine. Now for a relevant paragraph in Mr. Krem's book titled The Great Approach. The political and economic transformation which will be initiated as a result of Maitreya's and the Master's presence will free humanity from age-old inhibitions and limitations and galvanize it into a great leap forward in consciousness. Conscious, meaningful living will replace the present confusion, doubt, and fear. A confident, courageous willingness to explore both inner and outer worlds will supplant the present weakening cynicism and make possible the evolutionary advance I have sought to describe, the emergence of a new and better civilization and of a new and better humanity.
We'd like to read to you some quotes from another of Mr. Krem's book titled Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. The advent of the Christ and the emergence of the Masters of Wisdom will bring an enormous sense of relief and reduction of tensions to the world. The gain in physical and emotional well-being will be considerable. Much of the physical disease in the world today has a psychic cause. The strains, the tensions and fears inherent in our divided society and world. Given true hope for the future, the general health of humanity will improve. The coming age will see certain profound changes in human perception which will give to humanity an altogether deeper and richer experience of the reality in which we live. Telepathy and etheric vision will become part of normal human equipment rather than being, as now, relatively rare. We are all telepathic and we share this faculty with the animal kingdom. But with most of us, it occurs unconsciously, spasmodically, without any control or intention. Gradually, in this new age now dawning, telepathy will become the normal mode of communication between people at the same stage of evolution. The Christ overshadowing of all humanity on the day of declaration foreshadows the future ability of humanity to communicate mentally, telepathically, at will, over any distance. Lying will be automatically become impossible, and speech will gradually die out.
One of the most profound changes which will take place will be in our approach to death. Man will lose his fear of death. Humanity will come to accept and understand the law of rebirth, that the death of the body is but the transition to a new and freer state, that the soul in its long journey in incarnation takes vehicle after vehicle through which to reflect itself on the physical plane. Death will lose its terror. When the body is old and depleted in strength, death will be cheerfully sought as the doorway to renewal and further experience. Maitreya will affirm the slow, gradual evolution of man through the process of reincarnation, which is also called the law of rebirth. And through our understanding of this law and its relation to the law of cause and effect, which is also called the law of karma, would come the sure basis for the establishment of right human relations. We will come to understand that our thoughts and actions from moment to moment set in motion causes which affects our, make our lives what they are, for good or ill. So, we will see the need for harmlessness in relationship to each other, a harmlessness based on the will to good, expressing itself as goodwill.
Maitreya will proclaim the truth that the kingdom of God exists on earth and has always existed in the fact of the spiritual hierarchy of masters and initiates, and that one day, through his agency, all his people will be remembered or will be members of that kingdom. The ancient mysteries will be restored and man will know himself as the divine being that he is. All people eventually, even those not engaged in the religious field, will share the sense of a spiritual basis to life. All will endeavor in whatever field of human activity they may be engaged, whether political, scientific, educational, or artistic, to give expression to this sensed inner truth, and will build a culture and a civilization directly reflecting their experience that God, nature, and man are one. Then revelation will follow revelation until we find ourselves in possession of that knowledge which will open for us the secrets of life itself and will allow us to become conscious creators and co-workers with God. This will be possible when humanity's will and God's will are one and the same. Then a creative interplay between God and man can take place, and the true nature and purpose behind the human evolution will become apparent.
A new era of peace and goodwill is dawning in the world. Nothing can now prevent the inauguration of this era of tranquility and equilibrium. The cosmic forces released into the world by the Christ are definitely making themselves manifest on the physical plane and will continue to do so in ever-mounting potency. These forces will lead to results which at the moment seem to be impossible of achievement. More and more, these energies will condition the ways of our thinking and feeling and will lead eventually to that desired state of fusion and synthesis, which will be the keynote of the Aquarian Age. Then we will recognize the fact, for so long hidden and unmanifested, that humanity is one, part of one life.
Well, here's a relevant excerpt from one of the messages from Maitreya, the World Teacher, and this is from message number 58. A new civilization must be built on the ruins of the old. That which is precious and worth preserving will be so preserved, but all that hinders and the manifestation of man's true greatness must be discarded. A time is coming, my friends, when you will see around you cities of beauty, glowing creations of love, and all the manifestation of man's dreams of himself as God. Thus will it be. Many are the keys to perfection, or many are the ways to perfection, but the simple ways are best. My way, the way of love, will take man quickest to his source. If you can see this, you will proceed on a path unerring and true. And for all men, this is so. When you see me, you will know that the time has come to begin this work of change, of building the new, creating forms and structures which will reveal yourselves to each other as the gods you are. My masters will help you in this work, and I shall lead.
And now for a couple of questions and answers, again, on the theme of the new civilization. And these are taken from a book by Benjamin Creme titled Unity in Diversity. And the first question is from 2010. Why doesn't Maitreya appear under his real name in the television interviews? I think it would be better. Mr. Krems reply, sorry, but Maitreya does not agree with you. Many people want the world to change, but they are passive. They want it to happen magically. They think of Maitreya as a big avatar and therefore think it is his job. It is not. It is our job. Long ago, Maitreya said, every stone, every brick of the new civilization must be put in place by humanity itself. And more recently, he said, I am the architect only of the plan. You, my friends and brothers, are the willing builders of the shining temple of truth. He must know and will know that when people respond to his ideas, they want the changes in the world which he is advocating. Not because of his status, not because he is the world teacher. If a world teacher says we need to share, it is easier to believe the teacher than to see for oneself that sharing is the only possible answer to our problems.
When you see that sharing is the only way to justice and therefore to peace, you are making an inner spiritual step in awareness. Not everyone sees this. Why do you see this? Because you have this spiritual awareness. It is the result of an inner awareness. But if you just accept it because you have recognized Maitreya, it doesn't mean that you are aware of the need. He has to know that enough people are responding from their own spiritual awareness. Why do millions of people not share now? Why do people not see inwardly that sharing is a natural thing in the family of brothers? In a home, the mother, father, and children share everything. Likewise, we are in a home called Earth. We are brothers and sisters. Everything on Earth belongs to everyone and therefore should be shared.
Everyone's needs should be met, but it is not happening because people do not have that inner spiritual awareness. They do not make it happen. It does not occur to them. We have free will. We can choose to share or not. If we decide to follow Maitreya's advice, whether we know it is his advice or not is immaterial, we will save the world. If we decide, however, that we do not want sharing, if there are not enough people who want change, sharing, and justice, then we will destroy ourselves. It is as simple as that. Maitreya knows that there is a critical mass of 1.8 billion people ready to adopt his advocacy. When those people make known where they stand and demand that their governments change their ways of working and share the resources of the world, it will happen.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening to our program. If you would like more information, you can visit the website share-international.org, or you can also email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And wishing you all a lovely week.